Welcome to UN Gender Focus. I'm Deanne Penn at United Nations Headquarters in New York. Coming up in this week's program, harmful social norms make Pacific women more vulnerable to disaster. And we hear how public employment programs can help combat gender inequalities. But first, a resilient and adaptable healthcare system is the bread and butter of any effective response to climate-related crises. That's according to Dr. Nata Menabdi, Executive Director of the World Health Organization's New York office. Speaking with Lucy Dean following a panel discussion on women and children's health, she began by explaining why women are impacted more severely by climate-induced crises.
There are many reasons why women are more vulnerable, because in many societies still women even have less access to education, so they are less educated, less socially capable of responding. In many situations they are physically already weak because there is situation that malnutrition is, for example, a normal condition in the particular country. So there are already weaknesses which are inbuilt in the particular societies due to particular circumstances, which just become much more profound in crisis.
How do resilient healthcare programs help women in the face of climate-related threats?
Resilient health systems at large is like a skeleton of anything we do. It's like a bread and butter which you must have in place in order to do any specific interventions that are required to protect women, help women to cope with crisis, or do any other programmatic interventions. If you have very weak system, when crisis hits, even that weak system stops functioning, then you are not capable of addressing special needs. Now, climate change can bring all sorts of implications on health, like viruses, diseases outbreaks are coming, there are droughts, there are floods, and all these bring their own specific problems. So people stop having access to safe water, people stop having access to sanitation, people suddenly see proliferation of changed and mutated infection carriers like vectors, like malaria can come up. So there can be many effects of the crisis. Women carry a role of protecting their families, protecting their children. So why is health system important to be there, and a strong health system, so that when the specific need comes, system can reorganize itself and then reprogram its service provision to the current and immediate needs of the women.
How do we empower women to take part in this process?
I think certainly some societies are already taking care of those things. I think at global level, engaging leaders, especially of those countries where the gender issues are particularly profound, is a very important way. So unless we deal with that at a political level so that we get countries' leadership committed to address these issues, we will not be able to move this agenda forward.
Gender inequality, including harmful social norms, makes women and girls in the Pacific region more vulnerable to the impacts of disasters. That's according to UN Women's multi-country representative, Alita Miller, who said that disastrous events such as Cyclone Pam in 2015 and Cyclone Winston last year have become the new normal, increasing in both intensity and frequency. She said some studies had shown that women were up to 14 times more likely to be injured or killed in a disaster than men. Ms. Miller told Julia Dean why the agency was putting women and girls at the center of disaster preparedness efforts.
Disasters, unfortunately, are what I'd call the new normal in the Pacific. We're seeing, you know, much greater frequency, so the number of cyclones and disasters, but also the intensity, particularly of the cyclones. If you look at, we had Cyclone Pam, the next year we had Cyclone Winston, and we're now in the current cyclone season, you know, really kind of touch wood, holding on tight, hoping for the best. In terms of women's empowerment and gender equality, which is the mandate of UN Women, I would say we have to work in this area. In the Pacific, because of our reality. I mean, this is happening. These cyclones, these disasters keep coming, and women aren't equal in the impacts of disasters. So we've got to do something about it as UN women and with our partners, governments and civil society.
And what do you mean by that women aren't equal in terms of the impact?
There's some studies have shown women are more than 14 times more likely to be injured or killed in a disaster. They're not studies particularly from the Pacific, but we have found unequal impacts on women in terms of survival rates and injuries in the Pacific as well. A lot of this is rooted in gender inequality and harmful social norms that exist, you know, at any time, not just when there's a disaster. For instance, after a disaster, you'll often see an increase in gender-based violence, violence against women and girls. Women and girls often have unequal access to food and to items that are being distributed after a disaster. They'll lose economic opportunities in an unequal way and have an increased workload beyond what they already have in a pre-disaster time.
And with women, if you're advocating women also to be first responders, will that help their families as well as themselves?
Absolutely. Women are first responders. I mean, you know, in our book, women and girls are not here as passive bystanders and victims who are vulnerable. There are increased vulnerabilities, and that's part of our analysis in the way that we work. But we're also looking at women as leaders in their communities, which they are, but increasing those opportunities when it comes to disaster preparedness, response and recovery to get those voices at the table. If we don't have women planning for disaster response, if we don't have women at the table when we're making decisions in a disaster response, we're not going to reach women and girls in an equal way.
Women are often employed in unpaid work, but public employment programs can help address this inequality. That's according to Terje Tessem, Chief of the Development and Investment Branch in the Employment Policy Department at the International Labour Organization, the ILO. Lucy Dean caught up with him following a panel discussion at UN headquarters about preventing conflict through decent work. Mr. Tessem said public employment programs, that's when public funds are used to generate jobs, have wide-reaching benefits.
Public employment programs play an important role in addressing inequalities in many ways. First and foremost, the role that public investment and employment programs play in trying to give access to the labor market for different target groups of communities and for addressing inequalities in terms of access to jobs, access to education, access to skills, access to entrepreneurship, access to assets and services are universal. But for women, this becomes even more important because many of the societies that these type of programs are working in, women are totally deprived from remunerated work. They are often in non-remunerated work. And this type of programs, in the first place, they generate in many ways a first opportunity to get into a proper employment relationship, a proper paid job. So first and foremost, it creates that opportunity, and it creates opportunity where there are no other opportunities. This is not replacing private jobs that are in abundance. It's going to places where there are no jobs, and we are filling in with opportunities for women to get jobs in those circumstances.
What are the benefits of including women fully in workforces across the world?
There are wide-ranging benefits clearly on this, and maybe the responsibility of taken on by women is having an impact on the way that they perform the job. But it's also when revenues, you know, are being earned, maybe they are going to more useful purposes in many places. And we are talking about circulating it into the local development processes. We talk about health and education issues. But I think these programs are extremely useful to create good labor outcomes, to create good educational skills and development outcomes with the inclusion of women in non-traditional environments. But you asked the question about public employment programs, but there are a lot of also local economic development activities, you know, and I think Tunisia, for instance, and there are remarkable achievements done by women being given new roles and being opportunities rather, and then roles in dialogue around decision making at the local level, take part in the social dialogue, but also economic dialogue, local economic development fora, which we have been establishing together with the local governorates and local authorities there.
You've been listening to UN Gender Focus from the United Nations in New York. You can follow more of our programs at radio.un.org. We're also on Facebook and on Twitter. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Deanne Penn.